Hello, this is Sean Kennedy. I'm the editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Nursing.
Hi, and Betsy Todd, the clinical editor.
And we're here to highlight the September issue of the American Journal of Nursing. On the cover of the issue this month, we show a group of Army generals attending the commencement ceremony for the annual observance of Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month. We chose this cover in conjunction with one of our CE feature articles, Military Sexual Trauma in Male Service Members. Not much is known about the effects of military sexual trauma on male service members, and this article discusses the unique ways in which men may experience military sexual trauma. And it examines how the social stereotypes of masculinity, myths surrounding sexual assault, and the military culture and structure itself often influence a man's interpretation of an attack and his likelihood of reporting the incident or seeking treatment. It does describe current treatments for military sexual trauma related mental health conditions and addresses implications for nurses and other healthcare professionals. And it's important because many military veterans now are not receiving their care in veteran facilities, and so nurses in every setting may be encountering men who've had military sexual trauma, so they should be cognizant of the symptoms. There's also a podcast with the author of this piece, Denise Eklund, and you can find that under podcasts on our website. Betsy, do you want to talk a little bit about the other CE piece?
Great, sure. This is an original research piece about predicting injurious falls in the hospital and the implications for practice. These authors did a retrospective study to try to identify which patient factors are associated with injurious falls in hospitalized adults. And they analyzed 10 variables. So we're hoping that their findings will help us better identify patients who are at risk for the worst falls and figure out better ways to prevent them.
And we also have, of course, several other features as well. We have Legal Clinic, which is written by a nurse attorney, Edie Brow. And this one talks about legal considerations in telehealth and telemedicine. This article looks at the legal and regulatory considerations surrounding this rapidly growing practice of remote healthcare delivery. It's very important that nurses who engage in this type of telehealth practice know the laws in their state. For example, there are different opinions as to whether the nurse should be licensed in the state where she is located, he or she is located, or where the patient is located. So there's some serious ramifications in this, and Edie Brouse lays them out very well. I think it's an important piece with this new technology. Betsy, back to you for the our clinical feature.
This is a really important article. Read this article. It's called Recognizing Acute Myocardial Infarction in Women, and it's a case study. The article's an overview of the signs and symptoms of myocardial infarction in women, emphasizing how signs and symptoms in us differ from what we generally see as men and what we consider as, you know, the classic signs and symptoms. This particular case illustrates how the failure to recognize these signs and symptoms in the case of one woman, who also is a nurse, led to a misdiagnosis that could have led to her death. And it was actually an ER triage nurse who set everybody on the right path and got her into and led the way to cardiac treatment. Oh, and there's going to be a podcast as well. We have a podcast coming up talking with this author about the case.
We also have in the September issue of AJN, we have news. Are nurses being nudged out of policymaking? And it looks at the declining number of nurses at several organizations in terms of having leadership and policymaking roles. Another article on how whole grains can reduce disease and mortality risk. We look at news on assessing the global stroke burden. And a piece looking at evidence for antidepressant use in children and adolescents, which has been a hot topic for several years now. There's also Jane Barnsteiner, our research and QI editor, and I did a joint editorial talking about issues around quality improvement projects and what we see within the papers we receive. There's also a very good AJN reports that addresses a topic that seems to be disappearing from many nurses' practice, and that's spirituality. It's something that people shy away from because there's some confusion perhaps with spirituality, equating that with religion. And the report talks about the distinction between the two and why spirituality is important to address. We also have a nursing, of course, a best of the blog. And our Teaching for Practice column this month is by Diane Billings on flipping the classroom, and she talks about some techniques behind that, and that should be helpful for those new to that concept. From the AJN archives in relation to our Teaching for Practice, we have an article from, I believe, the 1930s on how ward teaching can be made more systematic. Nursing Resources talks about a wonderful resource that's freely available called Charting Nursing's Future, and this is put out by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and they are policy briefs, so that's an excellent resource for people. And we, of course, have Journal Watch, Drug Watch, Reflections, Art of Nursing, and you can read it online, you can read it in print, or on your iPad. And some of you might be reading it in our new DigiMag format. So there's many ways to access AJN. I hope you read it and let us know what you think. You can reach me, Sean.Kennedy@WaltersKluwer.com.
And Betsy.Todd@WaltersKluwer.com.
So thank you for listening, and we'll be back next month.